Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, good whatever time you're listening to
whatever.
This. Could be morning. Could be evening. Hell, I don't know.
Right.
Anyway, good whatever to you. This is Random. I'm Kevin.
I'm Lyle.
And get your tinfoil hats ready, bitches, because today, this show, we're talking about conspiracy theories.
You suck so bad. Yes, we are. Conspiracy theories.
I think you ought to start taking the opening to these.
You know, I probably should. Random. I probably should, because you suck at it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's not easy.
Come on. You've been doing it for 12 years, dude.
Well, me sucking at it is part of the shtick.
The charm?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, well, I mean, I like it. I enjoy it, Kevin.
I know you enjoy it.
Yeah, big fan.
So, aside from this here random show that we do, we also have a show called The Fantasy Football Guys, which happens most of the time during football season.
Mm-hmm.
But this year we're doing the off-season, every other week thing, opposite to the random show. So, starting in mid-July, which is just around the corner, as it turns out, we're going to be kicking off the preseason of that. By doing shows every week.
Right.
So that'll be cool. NFL draft happening tomorrow night as we record this. So that's the whole thing starting to heat up. So we'll see how that goes. Also, the fantasy baseball guys are deep into their first season. Check them out. It's Jason and Greg. Also, of course, the fantasy hockey guys are still rolling along as the playoffs go through hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Coming soon, hopefully soon.
We might launch next week.
Yeah, okay. It would be, of course, Tour Bus Confidential. With Kyle Conkiel talking with some of the biggest stars in metal, some of the coolest people in metal. Maybe
yeah,
not
really
the biggest
cool
stars,
yeah.
But the people that make the stars stars.
Some of them, and some of them are stars, and you know, just people that he knows in the music industry.
Yeah, which is really you know cool what, somewhere where some of the best stories going to come from.
Yeah, so, really cool stuff.
A couple in the can, a couple more coming. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, man.
So right now, you know, Lyle and I were like, "What are you going to talk about tonight?" Conspiracy theories is something we love talking about, and you know what?
I love it.
Anytime we were at the
at
bar,
your birthday dinner,
and my nephew started talking about a conspiracy theory,
yeah.
And actually was angry at Lyle because
really,
Lyle wasn't completely 100% buying
in. I think he was also angry that I kept saying, you know, you sound like a crazy person.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know,
I mean, but he was he obviously went into 9/11, and we'll definitely talk about that tonight, but you know, he was deep into it and like was dropping all this stuff on me. And my response was, I'm not a structural engineer, so I don't know if that's true.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't have no idea about, you know, anything really when it comes to architecture. So I can't reply to that intelligently, but neither can you, dude.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you're regurgitating stuff you read or you watched a video about, and I'm sure it's compelling. But at the same time, that doesn't make it true.
Right.
And this is what I love about conspiracy theories. Okay. First of all, I am a massive fan, right? I read about them. I watch them. One of my favorite things to do on YouTube is watch crazy people talk about crazy stuff.
I love watching UFO stuff.
Oh, man. I just love it.
Because you know what? I want to believe.
Oh, I don't buy any of it.
But I can't really believe.
Yeah, I don't buy any of it. And that's probably where we should start this little rant, Kevin, is aliens, because that's pretty much the biggest one, right?
Right.
I mean, with JFK is probably up there too. 9/11, any kind of false flag operations, or you know. But the thing about those is, and we'll get into them. The thing about those is, it doesn't matter what happens. There's always conspiracy theories surrounding them. So when anything major, like a major terrorism incident or even natural disasters, people come up with conspiracy theories around them. There was a ton about Katrina.
Sure.
Right? There was a ton about the earthquake that happened in the 90s during the World Series in California. There was a whole bunch surrounding the Branch Davidians, Ruby Ridge, right? The Oklahoma City bombing. So 9/11 is not unique in that way. Right.
Right.
It's not it happens to be the worst terrorist thing that has happened on U.S. soil, if you don't count, you know, all the raping and pillaging went on, you know, when we were in our infancy. We could argue that, but
not a whole lot of conspiracy theories around that. It's just history.
It's just a history, I guess. Well, but it's revisionist history, though. So it could have been a lot worse. I mean, winning side wrote the history.
The winning side tends to write
they
the
do.
History.
They yeah. do. But nowadays, we tend to get a different spin on things from, you know, those who were affected because of the internet. And, you know, everybody, quote unquote, has a voice now.
Everybody's got a blog.
Yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, let's talk aliens really quick, because I think that we alluded to this in one of our other podcast, more than alluded. We discussed it a little bit, and I brought up, and we should probably go into this a little bit, I brought up the Fermi paradox. So if you believe that aliens exist somewhere in the universe,
yeah,
right?
You mean, you know, intelligent life somewhere in the universe.
Intelligent life.
Yes.
Okay. So for me personally, right?
Because if they're living out there, we're the aliens.
There are There are too many stars. There are too many planets. We're finding them everywhere. We just discovered one in our own solar system that we didn't know existed. You didn't hear about that?
In the sun, going around the sun, it's a planet we didn't know about.
Yes.
Okay, talk to me about that.
Are you serious? You didn't know about this?
I didn't heard about
that. So
heard
you know that they devalued, or I don't know what you would call it, they deplanetized.
Unplanetized Pluto.
Yeah, Pluto. Yeah, yeah. Right. They were like, fuck you, Pluto, you're a Kuiper Belt object.
Well, it's basically the size of Russia. It's a, you know, it's an asteroid,
basically. Well, it's pretty big, though, but it's, I guess it's not, you know, I don't know. It's not big enough to be considered a planet. It's more of a Kuiper Belt object.
A planetoid.
For those of you that don't know, the Kuiper Belt is sort of this area that's full of asteroids and, you know, big giant pieces of rock, basically, that it's out at the, what they thought was the edge of our solar system, right? So they consider Pluto now to be one of the objects in this Kuiper Belt.
Right.
And not necessarily a planet.
So talk to me about this other planet.
Okay. So I don't know if you've ever heard of Nibiru. Right. The other planet these people have been talking about it forever. And it was this giant conspiracy theory about, you know, this other planet. And there was a guy in the 70s. I can't remember his name, but he wrote a bunch of books about based on ancient Sumerian texts about this planet and these beings.
Be Chariots of the Gods, those books?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't remember. But I do remember that they were called the beings that lived on this planet were called the Anunnaki. Right.
And the lizard people.
I don't think they were lizards. Hmm. But anyway, they were very big, though, like giants almost. And this guy believed that they're the ones that gave birth to life on this planet. Excuse me.
You know, you have a cough button for that.
I couldn't hit it fast enough. I can't find it with my foot.
Oh, yeah.
Having a tough time.
Go. There it is.
Oh, it's upside down. Anyway, so this guy... I wish I could remember his name. Anunnaki? Anyway, so he believed that that these Anunnaki seeded the planet. And they were, a race of super intelligent beings that gave birth to life on the planet, but also would come back every so often. And they were on this planet that had this massive elliptical orbit and would come, like, close to the Earth every 12,000 years or some ridiculous shit.
Right.
Right. Kind of total bullshit. Right. I mean, you know.
Sounds good.
There were some interesting things about these ancient Sumerians, like carvings and stuff like that, that, you know, kind of would look like, oh, man, that's a spaceship. And, you know, they had detailed.
You can see those things in hieroglyphs and things like that where, right, you know, things in the sky with beams coming out and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And they had these really well, like, to scale almost models of our solar system, really well thought out for the Sumerians.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there were 12 planets, you know. So this 12th planet was nicknamed Nibiru by these people. Anyway, long story short, obviously that's a bunch of horseshit, in my opinion. However, they did discover a Neptune-sized planet outside of the Kuiper Belt that they believe is part of our solar system now. And they also believe that it has an elliptical orbit. So it's kind of like, well, maybe these people didn't know. So, and it orbits the sun every 15,000 years.
Oh, that's the, it's trip around the sun is 15,000 years.
It's 15,000 years. So it's a giant planet, Neptune size, very big, like four Earths.
Right.
You know, a planet that they just discovered. So while it wasn't.
Well, see, that's what I don't understand. They can talk about, you know, stars from, you know, that are thousands of light years away. And there's, you know, planets on the the circle of those stars that, you know, could support life, like mm-hmm. Earth life,
mm-hmm.
but they can't figure out that this planet was, you know, considerably closer.
I mean,
were they not looking?
I mean,
what?
Well, space is huge, so they're always looking. But I mean, to identify something in an area that is completely three-dimensional and goes on almost forever is hard. Like, it's really, really hard. To identify even a planet is very difficult because there's not a lot of light. And that's typically how they identify them, right?
They'll, right, is how light bounces and
right, all that kind of stuff. So that, right. In areas where there's not a lot of light, it makes it really difficult. There's also, you know, believe it or not, and the physicists have talked about this. They discovered another anomaly around a certain star. I can't remember which one it is, but it looks like there's some sort of megastructure built around this star, the way that the light is reflecting around it. Now, obviously, it's super far away, and they don't know anything specific about it at this point, but they are confirming that this this star, right, has something weird going on around it.
Right.
And of course, conspiracy theorists have jumped on it and said, you know, obviously this is aliens, alien megastructure. But here's the thing about it that's really crazy is, like, some of the popular explanations for it, like in science, would be like a bunch of comets or like something, you know, circling around the star very close that would cause these light patterns to happen, right? And the problem is you would need about 650,000 of them orbiting this sun in order for that to happen. Extremely unlikely.
Unlikely.
Right. And so, and, you know, some other people's theories are starting to crop up. You know, the aliens have figured out how to harness the power of the sun, and, you know, they built this giant structure around it, and that's what's going on. But, you know, who knows what's going on? But it is kind of compelling when, you know... So, for example, to talk about like what kind of weird stuff is happening around it, a Jupiter-sized planet goes in front of this star, it would dim the light from the star about 1%.
Wow.
Jupiter-sized planet, right?
Right.
So, every so often, this star dims by about 20%. Something that they just cannot explain with science right now. Now, it's probably something logical, but it's also pretty crazy.
Right.
And you
so
think about,
as like, a conspiracy theorist, yeah, that person would say, oh, it's got to be this. So I looked it up here, and there was a guy in the, I think, the 60s, the 70s.
Yeah.
Talking about the reptilian elite.
Oh, yeah.
Sportscaster named David Icke.
David Icke.
Icke, yeah. Right,
he's still out there.
Right. He believed that Bob Hope, royal family members, George W. Bush, and Bill Clinton are part of the Anunnaki race,
yeah,
that came to Earth for non-atomic gold.
Yeah, so David Icke was a former goalkeeper. Right, that went into
a keeper.
Yeah, he was a keeper in real football, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, soccer.
And he went on a really popular late night show for in Great Britain when he was still on the air as a sportscaster and like a television personality, and claimed that he was the son of God, like he was like Jesus or something. And he was ridiculed, you know, laughed out, lost his job, all this kind of, like, he's a genuine crazy person. But he's yeah, he's written like 50 books, and he's smart enough that he latches onto little pieces of science that has come out, and he'll expand on it a great deal and explain a bunch of crazy stuff with that little piece of science being fact. Like, he believes the universe is holographic. Well, some physicists have come out and said, you know, little things like, it's possible that the universe is an entire hologram, right? Like, everything you see is a hologram. That's possible. That theory actually exists out there, and there's some math that supports it.
There's also a theory that the moon is a hologram.
And there's
some quote-unquote video evidence where you see, like, there's like electrical spikes where it kind of flashes.
Well,
the Earth
is flat, too.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's also a conspiracy theory.
But anyway, he does believe, he totally believes in aliens, and he believes in a reptilian master race and the Illuminati and all that stuff that I'm sure we'll talk about. But just to wrap up about aliens, the thing about them is, you know, you want to believe that aliens visited this planet, that's fine. A lot of people think, Kevin, and I'd love to get your take on this, a lot of people think that, like, if there was a really advanced race out there, why would they bother with us? You know what I mean?
Well, you can make the case that, you know, even though we're the advanced species on this planet, we still study the least advanced species on the planet.
So, and that's kind of my point. Yeah. Like, if we had that ability, if we had that capability, we would totally be out there looking at at other beings going, wow, look at these guys. They just discovered the wheel or whatever. I mean, it's completely plausible to me that somewhere they have a super high power telescope or something, and somebody's staring at us going, look at these weird monkeys running around with their, you know, Prada bags and their iPhones banging each other. And you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, cool. That would be fascinating for the intellectuals of that race, you know, to see how life developed somewhere else.
I mean, you know, even right on the planet, there are still, you know, tribes of people that really don't have any contact with modern society. And, you know, they do flyovers and stuff. And, you know, these things, these people are down there shaking spears and
right.
You know, throwing rocks at the plane and that kind of thing. It's like, leave these people alone.
Yeah, but I mean, we would.
So we still want to look at those people
and
still want to study them.
Absolutely.
And it's the same thing.
Yeah, I think so, too. The problem is, out of all of the cases, quote-unquote cases of UFOs or alien abduction, there's not a single shred of proof. There's nothing. There's nothing.
Not that we've seen. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but it hasn't been released to the public.
There you go with the conspiracies.
Exactly.
Well, I'm just saying there's no documented proof at all. So that brings me back to the Fermi paradox. And this dude named, I think it was Enrico Fermi, basically
said. You got
said,
the Fermi part for sure.
Yeah. He basically said, he agrees, like with all the stars and all the planets in this vast universe that may be unlimited, probably isn't, but, you know, maybe it's pretty close to unlimited. You know,
it's a very big number.
It's fucking huge, right?
Huge.
You know, billions and billions and billions of stars and
Thank
galaxies.
Thank you, Carl Sagan.
And, yeah. You know, there has to be life out there somewhere. And I completely agree with that.
Right. And it may not be life as we know it.
It might not be.
People go, well, that planet can't support life. Sure it can. It can't support us. But
we thought that about our own planet when it comes to these extremophiles and shit that live in acid pools and next to lava. And fucking in freezing cold, like, temperatures where, biologically speaking, you should not be able to, and nothing should be able to survive. Really low light environments, really low oxygen environments.
Huge radiation environments.
Yeah. And time again, life figures out a way. Fucking scientists just discovered this bacteria that has morphed or, I don't know, mutated or something like that to fucking eat plastic.
Yeah, it's a mushroom.
Yeah. And it's like, all right, yeah. Oh, it's a fungus. That's right.
Yeah, it's a
fungus. Yeah, and that's like, all right, you guys going to keep throwing this shit at me? I'll eat it. Now, it's super slow right now, so it's not really plausible for it to, like, clean out our landfills, but maybe someday. Right. Anyway, I totally agree with that. However, intelligent life is something different. That may be what's unique. That may be what's special. Maybe that's super duper rare. You know, think about how many species of life are on this planet, from single-celled organisms all the way up to us. And
90% of the life that has existed on this planet
is gone. Gone already. You know, insects, plant life, you know what I mean? Like, all these different variations. I mean, it's staggering. And we're the only ones that are intelligent. This one species.
Self-aware, sentient.
Well, I there's some argument that dolphins might be as well.
And octopi.
Yeah, octopus. The octopus and squid are apparently incredibly intelligent as well. And I believe that we'll learn more about that kind of stuff going forward. But I think to you know, Fermi's whole point was, yes, there's all these stars and stuff. There should be all these civilizations, but where are they? Because we haven't seen any evidence of any of them. And that's the paradoxical nature of what he's trying to say is, you're right, there should be, but where are they? Because there's not. You know what I mean? And I always found that interesting because it's a really good fucking point.
It's a great point. But the thing is, you know, if they're only as far as advanced as we are.
No, true.
They're out there.
But you would think if they are out there, there would inevitably have to be species that are far more intelligent. There would have to be, right? If intelligence is common in the universe, and by common, I don't mean like every planet or even every solar system or even every galaxy, right? But if it's common enough that it's, you know, every third galaxy, there's fucking billions of civilizations, right? Like, there'd be tons and tons and tons.
Well, you know, while there's no quote-unquote proof,
right,
that these civilizations have, you know, done a flyby, it's certainly possible.
It is possible. And it's also possible that it happened, you know, 50,000 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When, you know, we were just, you know, tiny little hairy, half monkeys. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's really, it's entirely possible that they came by and were like, you know, these guys aren't there yet. You know, let's bounce somewhere else.
Right.
You know, so when it comes to actual aliens, one last tidbit I want to throw at you.
Yeah, we've done 20 minutes on aliens.
Well, I mean, it's a really good conspiracy theory. I mean,
we could probably just do a show just on aliens.
We probably could. We probably should someday.
This might
be it. One interesting theory that I read was the alien abduction cases. There's an interesting theory that has come out now that it's actually people remembering being born.
Yeah.
So they're brought from a really safe environment into one that's seemingly hostile, where they're completely helpless. They can't see very well. There's these featureless beings that are huge, towering over them, performing quote-unquote tests. You know, all this kind of stuff that's really similar to a lot of alien abduction cases, you know. And there has been, it's been widely accepted for a long time that birth is traumatizing to babies. I mean, it's why people try to do home births, you know, people that would do like tub births and, you know, the warm water births and all that kind of stuff, because it's less traumatizing to the infant. So if that's the case, and some people are suffering from, you know, low level PTSD or something, in some cases high level, from that event, that is a plausible explanation to me. I'm not saying it's true, but it's plausible enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen anything in the sky you couldn't explain?
Sure, of course. But that couldn't be explained by science? No. No, I've seen stuff that I was like, you know, what the hell is that?
Right.
Yeah, I can remember being a kid and I saw this giant glowing orb. And it looked like it was moving across the sky and stuff. And then I looked it up a couple days later and it turns out it was Venus.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So I guess I was 16, 17.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend at the time lived in, I was in Milford, and she lived in Slaughter Beach. And there, yeah, Slaughter Beach.
Slaughter
there
Beach.
Is a place in Delaware called Slaughter Beach. It's and Slaughter
lame.
Neck, too.
It's super lame.
Yeah, so that's where she lived. Her yeah. father ran fishing boats out of there. So anyway, so it was a, you know, 3 or 4 mile road from Milford to her place. And it was basically rural, it was farms.
Right.
So you got out of Milford, you know, 2 minutes out of Milford, you're in farm country. So, you know, and then you get to Slaughter Beach and there's marshes. You're right at the shore. You're at the bay.
Right.
So on the way to her house one night, it was dark. I look over and there was a large cluster of lights over a farmhouse that sat there. And I was like, that's way too big to be a plane, because it was like 15 lights.
It's huge.
Oh, yeah. So I kind of pulled off to the side of the road and got out of the car. And there was no noise, but this thing was like 200 yards from me.
Wow.
Over this farmhouse, like maybe 200 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't moving. It was just there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I have no idea what that is, but it's the middle of the night, and there it is, and I'm here 200 yards away. I'm going to leave now.
Right, yeah.
Now, not saying it was, you know, spaceship, whatever, so, but I have no idea what it was.
Yeah,
so
that's the
so
thing.
Typically, it was a UFO.
Typically, well, right. It's an unidentified flying object.
Right. It was in the air. I didn't know what it was. So there it is.
But is it unexplainable? No. It's not. I mean, you know.
Right. The wind, could, you know, breeze could have been blowing the other way and it was a couple helicopters. Who knows?
Could have been a lot of shit.
I like to think it was, you know, aliens.
That's cool. But I'm curious as to why we always go to aliens.
Yeah.
When there's a lot of really plausible explanations here on this planet, because our governments have really advanced shit.
Well,
that they're not telling anybody about.
That was 1979, so I'm sure they had advanced stuff
they
then.
They still had advanced shit, yeah.
Well, you were talking about, you know, when you're talking about aliens and conspiracy theories, you can't not talk about Area 51.
Well, see, so here's the thing about Area 51. Roswell and all that kind of stuff, one of the most famous conspiracy theories ever. It's funny because that's one that turned out to be true. Not the alien part of it, but well, they were totally doing shit there, and they were still
at
denying
Area 51?
It. Yeah, they were still denying it.
They still are, dude.
They don't deny that it exists anymore.
Right.
You know?
So now the whole thing, you know, if you're an American or even not an American, you know that, you know, allegedly a spaceship crashed at Roswell, New Mexico, and it was actually in the papers, UFO, spaceship crashes, and there were, you know, dudes sitting there holding pieces of the metal, et cetera.
Yeah.
And the Air Force was like, it was a weather balloon. It was like, wait a minute.
It wasn't a weather balloon.
Right, so...
But it wasn't fucking aliens either. They were testing something.
Right, exactly right. They're,
yeah, you know, it was Cold War propaganda. They wanted, they were happy that people were talking about aliens because right. it wasn't whatever the fuck they were testing.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
So whether, you know, it was like, well, you know, they took the crash stuff and, you know, and the bodies of the aliens and they took it to Area 51 and, you know, that's where it remains to this day. And that some of the technology we got for, you know, the F-117.
Right. Blackbird, yep.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Stealth.
Came from alien technology. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Blackbird, excuse me, and also, you know, the U-2 spy plane.
Yep.
You know, they were all tested there at Area 51. They were all, built, and, you know, that sort of thing there.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's because they're so far advanced and so brand new at the time. You know, it's got to be alien technology.
Right.
That's where the conspiracy theories come.
Yeah, see, I don't buy that. For me, there are a lot of other more interesting conspiracy theories that might actually be true. You know, I think that the government has this really uncanny ability to get us talking about shit that doesn't matter when a bunch of shit that does matter is happening. Like, think about... You know, people think about the Illuminati, right?
Right.
Right. A group that's secretly controlling the world, right? Now, I don't think they're reptilians. That's, come on, let's not get crazy here, right? But, and I don't even think necessarily that it's one unified group, but we know that secret societies exist.
Sure.
We know for a fact that powerful people cling together and come up with ways to manipulate markets.
The Bilderberg Group, et cetera.
Sure. Even more than that, I don't know if you've seen this shit about the Panama Papers that's come out recently.
Yeah.
You know, a bunch of these...
I've heard Hillary's names come up a few times.
A bunch of world leaders, man, are ducking taxes in their own country and hiding money. And
Delaware's come up a lot because there's a building in downtown Wilmington, I think it's on Orange Street,
yeah.
that is home to thousands, hundreds of thousands of corporations.
Because Delaware has extremely lenient corporation or corporate laws, I guess, incorporation laws.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Delaware is a really popular place to incorporate because of that, believe it or not.
That's why the banking industry is here because...
Mainly headquartered here. Yeah. Most of it is. But, you know, so in that regard, there's some truth to it. You know, and that's what I think that's funny about a lot of these conspiracy theories. There's a little bit of truth.
A little bit of truth.
To all of them. It's not aliens in Roswell, but they were hiding shit, right? It's not, you know, one unified Illuminati, like 10 people sitting around a table controlling the world. But there is a group of people that can influence, you know, the markets and maybe even cause a war. Sure. Right.
And, you know, the Masons are actually a club.
They are a club.
You know, and you know what? They're a very old club.
Yeah.
You know, I actually thought about joining the Masons.
Did you?
Yeah. But then there was a very large religious aspect to the organization, which I just wasn't comfortable with.
Huh.
It's like...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know, it's worth a look just to, because it's interesting. You know, the whole thing is...
Don't you have to know a Mason to become a Mason?
Well, you can just ask a Mason. Hey, I'd like to... I'm interested in being a Mason. And they'll bring you, you know... But basically what they'll do is...
I don't know any Mason.
They want... I don't either. But you can identify one, just walk up and say, hey, I'm interested in being a Mason. And I'm sure they would talk to you. Anyway... look it up online. You know, if you want to be a Mason, then, you know, a couple of people from the organization come to your house and talk to your wife and kids about your faith and that sort of thing.
Fuck that.
Exactly. That's what I said. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'll do charity stuff, and I'm kind of interested to find out about what they're all about, but not to the point where people are going to come to my house and interview my family about my relationship with God.
Yeah, kiss my
ass. Thanks anyway.
Yeah, even if I was religious, I'd be offended by that.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, from my experience, a lot of religious people who consider themselves to be very religious love to talk about their faith.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's perfect for them.
Maybe it is.
Not so much for me.
Yeah, maybe that, yeah, you might be right.
How many times in the 16 years that I've known you have we talked about our relationship with religion?
A few, but not many, yeah.
Yeah, and generally we agree, like, eh, and we move on.
Yeah, we're just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Something's going on there, but we don't know what it is.
Anyway. You know, a lot of conspiracy theories associated with that, dude, the Catholic Church. I don't know if you've ever seen, you see all that movie, that one movie of the year? I can't remember the name of it now.
Was it the...
Yeah.
Oh, the one that caused all the hubbub?
The one about the Boston, it started in Boston anyway, the Boston priest scandal that, you know, they were raping kids, basically.
Oh, you're talking about the movie that just won the
thing.
Yeah,
just came out.
Yeah. I don't know the name.
I can't remember the name. Maybe we could ask Google that movie.
just say, you know, movie, picture of the year 2015.
That movie about priest raping.
Yeah.
Spotlight. Google's so good. Spotlight it is.
Priest raping. Spotlight.
But that was a genuine conspiracy that turned out to be totally true.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some conspiracy theories that turned out to be true.
Yeah, there are.
Later on.
There are some good ones. You know, because people were like, come on, that can't be happening. You know, I mean, sure, maybe there's some isolated cases. But it turned out, like, these priests were raping people all over the place, man.
That reminds me of a joke. Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
So, priest was in, probably going to catch some hell for this. Priest was in confession, listening to do confessions, and really had to go to the bathroom. So, you know, he you know, in between confessions, he ducked out, and there was a brand new priest there. It said, it wasn't a brand new priest. It was a janitor. It said, hey,
this
listen,
is getting really good.
I have to use a bathroom. Could you just sit in here? Anybody who comes in, just give them, you know, 10 Hail Marys and send them on their way. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Right.
So as soon as the priest rounds a corner and the janitor goes in, closes the door, somebody sits down. And it's a woman talking about, oh, you know, all I can do is think about sex. It's just blowjob, blowjob, blowjob. That's all I can do is I just love giving blowjobs. And he's like, oh, my God, this has got to be worth more than 10 Hail Marys. I don't know what to do. So, you know, he leans out the door, and there's an altar boy walking by, and the janitor says to the altar boy, hey, what does a father usually get for a blowjob? The kid says, a couple Snickers bars.
That's horrible, man.
Yeah, I know.
Making light of rape. Rape culture, Kevin. Anyway. So, yeah, that one turned out to be genuinely true. I believe that there are some people in powerful situations that can totally influence, you know, the way that the world works. We know that that's true. The Federal Reserve is way too powerful, right? I mean, they literally can print money.
Well,
they can you know, they can just create money.
And basically, on a whim, you know, completely, you know, motivate markets around the world.
They can.
Up, down,
yep.
Crash.
With interest rates. And what's funny is there people don't realize that they are a private institution.
Right, not
most
a government.
Don't. They are not. It's a private bank.
There's no
oversight.
Well,
it's a collection of banks, quote unquote.
Right, and there's no oversight.
No oversight for it. And nobody wants to talk about that. But they're as Federal Express is federal. Right, they're not. It's a totally private institution that has the legal authority to create money
and when set interest rates.
And when they do that, they give it to the U.S. government for a fee. Like, it's not free. They don't make money for nothing.
Yeah,
they create it for a fee. They charge the government interest. You know, so I don't know how that system came about, but there are some genuine conspiracies on genuine conspiracies. On the result of that. So, oh man, what was that dude's name? Kingfish? I can't remember. There was a really cool movie about it starring John Goodman. There was this guy who was a politician back in the day who, like, I don't know, 1920s or something like that, who was steadfast against it. The federal creation of the Federal Reserve and, you know, some other things too.
Mm-hmm.
And he was murdered. He was assassinated, basically, you know, by a schlep, you know, quote unquote patsy.
Right.
I can't remember his fucking name now.
Yeah, I was just reading a little earlier about a guy who was quote unquote committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice. So, you know, I guess the first bullet didn't do it, so he had to use that second bullet. You know,
that's sort of ridiculous, but yeah, I guess that's theoretically possible. I don't know how that works, though. Like,
yeah.
How would you? Maybe it could buck twice. I don't know. Maybe you flinch.
Well, no. The whole idea is he you know, it was covered up. He was actually murdered because,
of course,
right. So,
and there are a lot of those out there that are probably completely legitimate.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
You know, pick your conspiracy theory around what happened with the JFK assassination. We've talked about this on this show before. You know, and I told you about the documentary that said basically that Secret Service agent twitched, and that was a bullet that was the kill shot.
Right.
So whether it was that, or Lee Harvey Oswald didn't act alone, or there was some cover-ups afterward because of mishandling of evidence, or whatever it was, there was something going on there cover-up-wise. And you can pick your conspiracy theory, but something was going on there because a lot of people who were associated with the cover up, the, you know, all of it ended up dying under mysterious circumstances.
Right.
Now, whether, you know, I'm sure some of it was coincidental, but some of it, you know, may have also been, depending on which conspiracy theory about it you subscribe to, you know, could have been the CIA doing it, could have been the mob doing it, could have been Cuba doing it, could have been, I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Dude, and some of that might actually be true.
Like you said, a shred of truth, you know, just finding the shred of truth, you know, digging through all the bullshit to get to it is the hard thing.
Right.
One of the things, you know, just looking at a list of conspiracy theories earlier today, and they can be small things where most people look at it and go, oh, come on, really? Like Obama's birth certificate.
Yeah.
Huge conspiracy theory there. And in fact, the front runner for the Republican nomination right now led the charge on that whole birther situation.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of people forget about that. But, yeah. So basically, it's like, okay, well, here's my birth certificate. It was forged.
So
yeah, here's my full birth certificate. It's forged.
Dude's name was Huey Long. It was driving me crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kingfish is the movie starring John Goodman. Anyway, so yeah, check that out. He was a governor of Louisiana, and he was steadfast against the Federal Reserve, and was an advocate for spending on social things, and, you know, people called him a socialist and all this stuff. And yeah, he was murdered. So, but anyway, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's always, I feel like there's always,
I don't know what the shred of truth is with Obama's birthplace. The shred of truth there is that,
well,
Obama's father was Kenyan.
Okay.
After that,
yeah, it really doesn't go any further.
And people are still talking about it. It's like, the dude's going to be out of office at the end of the year.
They'll be talking about it forever. Yeah, they'll be like, I don't consider him one of the presidents. There's probably going to be like a crazy Confederate group that, you know, omits his entire presidency. you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you know, you're talking about that. I love seeing stuff from 20 years ago that's not acceptable now.
Right.
Like I saw a Clinton Gore button that you would wear. That was a Confederate flag with Clinton Gore 92 over it.
Yeah.
Perfectly acceptable in 92 to some people.
Would have been, yeah.
Right. And you see that now. People are like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Clinton with the flag. And
well,
the
you know what's funny is I don't, and then we're getting off on another one of our tangents here.
We do that.
I don't have any issues with the Confederate flag when it comes to racism. I mean, I think a lot of people genuinely believe in the heritage of the flag. I think that's totally true. I have a problem with it because it's a symbol of fucking treason. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you guys lost. I'm sorry. But we have a flag. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, look, I, you know, respect, whatever. But
yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean? It happened a really long time ago, and you guys lost. We're still part of the.
You know, the thing about the flag for me is I've never really been, you know, a person who, you know, wanted anything to do with the flag, really. I understand, you know,
it's a cool design.
That it could be upsetting to a lot of people.
I mean, I guess.
So, you know.
But here's the thing. So, and let's dive into our second total tangent here. Here's the thing, though. I, you know, and we can get into the social justice warrior movement if you want to. There's a strong difference between I don't like what you're doing, it offends me, and I don't like what you're doing, it offends me, so you have to stop.
Yes.
Right? Like, I get it, man. Get pissed off. Go ahead. You protest against it. Feel free. But at the end of the day, we live in a country with free speech, and you can't do anything about it. And not only that, it really bugs me when it comes to humor, right?
Yeah, Seinfeld and a bunch of other comedians say they refuse to go to colleges to play anymore because it used to be the place to go because everybody was exchanging free ideas. Now it's
the height of censorship, really.
It's not just the height of censorship, but everybody needs a safe space to go because words hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, Trump's 2016 chalked onto a sidewalk. People need to go talk to counselors because of the hate speech. It's like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, it's getting to the point where it's sort of ridiculous. And I think it's pretty ironic that this very strict sort of anti-free speech movement is coming out of these places that were supposed to be safe haven for free thought, free speech.
Right.
Free,
that's the because once you get out of college, you actually have to join the world, and you know you and, can have those thoughts, but you can't speak them.
Right, shit's real.
Right.
Out here, and you know, I have a lot of respect for comedians, especially because they've always pushed the envelope, and Lenny Bruce, you know, back in the day, would, you know, say a bunch of horrible things just to get a rise out of people. But I also find it quite odd that certain words are more acceptable in society. you know, because for whatever reason, their ethnic group didn't reach the status where they can be completely outraged now. Now, listen, if you said a term like, and I'm going to say an offensive term now, so hold your ears if you're, you know, I don't know.
I'm kind of scared. I don't know what you're saying.
So if you said wetback on TV, right, you would get in trouble, right? But you wouldn't get in as much trouble as if you said nigger. You would be completely ostracized if you said that word. And one thing I really love about what Louis Keith, CK said was he said it really pisses him off when people say N-word. And he doesn't mean nigger. He means N-word because they're not saying it. They're forcing you to say it in your head.
In your head, right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And he's right. Like, it's horrible. And I think, you know, if we live in a society where a word is that offensive, right, that you can't, you have to label it the N-word.
You shouldn't reference it at all.
You shouldn't reference it at all. Exactly, right? But we live in a society with free speech, and people do say these kinds of things, so there has to be a way to reference it on TV. They should just do exactly what I did. I'm going to say an offensive term. I don't mean anything by it. Please step away if it bothers you, or put a label, like if they, you know, late night TV, they, if there's some nudity or foul language or something, they put a label up on the television. You know, because unfortunately, God, we went on a big tangent here, but unfortunately,
I'm not sure how to get back.
Those words are used in our society. So it's really odd and bizarre for me, like the word fuck that is used constantly all day long for people to dance around it on TV is just the most awkward thing
right.
to watch. Like a morning program, you know, or something like that. Oh, he's, I don't know.
That's why I love HBO and Netflix, because they can do whatever they need to do.
All right, let's somehow dial it back from.
All right, so let's jump into another conspiracy theory here. This is a relatively recent one, that MH30, the Malaysian Airlines flight MH370,
and then
MH17 are the same plane.
Wow.
Have you heard about this
one? No, I haven't heard that one.
All right, so some background here. MH370 disappeared March 8th, 2014. Still hasn't been found. Extensive worldwide search operations. So 4 months later, on July 17th, another Malaysia Airlines flight, MH17, crashed in eastern Ukraine. Near the Russian border, apparently shot down by a missile, right? So most people think that those are just two terrible tragedies and horrible coincidences because it was the same airline. Conspiracy theorists, on the other hand, think that they're in fact the same plane. There's a website called worldtruth.tv, one of the sites that argues that in a conspiracy theory, the 370 was hijacked and flown to a U.S. military base in the Indian Ocean, and the U.S. propaganda machine staged the shooting down of MH17 so that Russians would lose credibility. Now, it kind of falls, the conspiracy theory fails to explain what this would achieve. You know, basically, if you want to, you know, shoot down a passenger aircraft over Russia, Ukraine border, whatever, there are many other opportunities to do it. But, you know, if you want to find out more about it, we can't really go in depth here on it. Obviously, it's only an hour show, but there are a lot of stories about how those two are the same plane and the U.S. was involved somehow, et cetera, which is really kind of weird.
It is kind of weird, Kevin, but it wouldn't be. It certainly wouldn't be the first conspiracy theory involving planes, right?
Right.
There was many on 9/11, actually. And what was that flight in Lockerbie? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It was, here it is right here. The Pan Am Flight 103, Lockerbie, Scotland, right?
That was 25 years ago, I think.
It was. Right? There was a lot of speculation about that. And just recently, Libya has claimed responsibility for it, right? But for eons, people said that plane was shot down, something happened, you know, and it turned out they were right. You know what I mean? So when planes don't mysteriously fall out of the sky anymore. They don't. There are triple and quadruple backup systems in these things nowadays. Yes, it's true. Like, something could go wrong. There was the Payne Stewart tragedy, right? Where his plane.
Yeah, that was a little. Yes. Uh-huh. It wasn't an airline or a jet.
No, it wasn't. But
no, those things tend to go down considerably more often.
Way
than,
more often than
commercial
the commercial airlines. Yeah. I researched this one time. There's only been 20 something major air disasters with airlines since like the 70s or something. And that includes four on 9/11.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
even though it's really, really safe, much safer than driving a car.
Way safer.
Yeah. You know, human errors in there. There's a lot of close calls that probably, you know, ended up in a lot of full pants. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. But it's not really, it's, when one goes down, there's genuine reason to be suspicious about it because it just doesn't happen. You know what I mean? It's just, it's not something that.
There's so many fail safes and there's so many.
There's tons of them.
You know, something goes wrong. You know, there's, plus there's airports all over the place now. If you need to put an airliner down.
And not only that, they can fly them. They can fly by themselves nowadays.
Right.
They can land by themselves. They can be remote controlled. There's all kinds of cool shit they have going on. And if, like, you know, three of their engines fails, they can still land. You know, like, it would have to be an overwhelming disaster for a plane to malfunction.
Like, it breaks apart or right. it or blows up.
One of the big things is ice, too. Ice can be a major factor.
Or geese. Yeah, geese are a problem.
Geese are a problem, too. But typically, you're right. Those things affect other smaller airlines, and that brings me to another conspiracy theory, Kevin. JFK Jr.
Yeah.
A lot of speculation that he was killed, of course, because he knew who killed his father. It's so amazing. I saw a thing the other day. Again, I told you I love crazy people. I saw this guy who was like, JFK Jr. revealed who killed his father before he died. And I'm like, oh, I can't wait to watch this.
Right.
So I start watching, and he's like, he knew it so much, he revealed it so well, that he named his magazine after it, George. And he was like, what? He was like, yeah, it was George Bush did it. And I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, that's all you needed?
Wait, George Bush Sr.? George Bush?
Senior.
Well, he was the head of the CIA.
He was.
Could have happened.
But I'm just saying, I don't know if he was head of CIA at the time.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what his reign would have been. But, you know, I thought it was really funny that it was just, like, that's all you need to get to a conspiracy theory. You know what I mean?
He hit it so well, he named his magazine.
He named his magazine.
Now, it could have been a different George.
Maybe what? Maybe it was George Michael. How old was he back then?
I don't know. Probably not old enough.
Dude. Yeah, I'm actually not sure. So he was head of the CIA from 76 to 77. So
yeah,
not
so
that
that's
long.
Not a lot.
Yeah. So during, it doesn't even look like he was doing anything really in the early 60s.
I think he was drilling for oil in the early 60s.
Yeah, he was a member of the House of Representatives in the late 60s, in the early 70s. So he would not have had a lot of power back then. But yeah, so that's all they needed to come up with that theory that it was George Bush that did it.
Yeah. Were you like the second guy to watch that?
I don't know.
Mom watched it?
But again, I love crazy people, and I can't wait to watch all that stuff.
One of my favorite conspiracy theories to ever be out there, and there's a lot to choose from, is the moon landings.
Yeah.
A lot of people were skeptical that the landings in 1969 were faked in Arizona or in a soundstage somewhere by Stanley Kubrick.
Yep.
I've heard that theory as well.
Me too.
So
here's the problem, though, and this has been pretty well documented. The technology it would take to fake those landings
didn't exist.
Didn't exist then. The right. technology to make those landings did exist.
Did exist, right.
So it's sort of a non-starter, but I do like it. I love the flat earthers, too. I love to listen to their theories about how the world is flat and it's actually a disc and we live under a dome and like all this.
You know what? I like it. I like it a lot. Oh, dude, I love it.
Yeah, I love listening to them, but it's absolutely insane. Now, one of the ones that I do think is probably the most intriguing, maybe not the most, but it certainly rings a bell with me because I'm like, something went on there, is Princess Diana. You know, her death is so fucking fishy. You know what I mean?
In the tunnel.
Yeah.
Paparazzi chasing. Were they really pops?
Were they? I mean, you know, the whole way
did
that
Queen Elizabeth have Princess Diana killed because she was going to have the future kings of England be living with somebody of Middle Eastern. Yeah, I mean, I've
knows?
Heard all these.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of different.
What would the influence be if the future king of England was living in a Middle Eastern household?
Gotta wonder.
Yeah, man.
And you know, there are plenty of other reasons to offer too. She might have just had embarrassing secrets or, you know what I mean? Like it could have been.
She saw the queen in her knickers.
Yeah. There could have been quite a few different reasons to have her offed. I mean, you know, the chauffeur was proved to be drunk, supposedly, Kevin.
Right.
You know what I mean? He was drinking. They were speeding. The car lost control, hit a thing. It's probably nothing. It probably was a terrible accident. But if there was, like, if there's a person, like, when I look at JFK, I was like, why would people really kill JFK? Like, sure, he was doing some things that were unpopular, but every president does. Everybody in government does.
Right.
I don't know that there would be a grand conspiracy to off him.
Well, the one that makes, you know, the most quote-unquote sense that I've heard, that it was the industrial military complex, because he wanted to pull out of Vietnam,
right,
and they wanted a war.
Right.
And Johnson was, you know, pro-escalation, whereas Kennedy was, you know, we have some advisors there now, let's, you know, get out of there.
Right.
So the industrial military complex that Eisenhower warned about when he was leaving.
Yes, he did.
They wanted that war.
What a great man Eisenhower was.
Mm-hmm.
He really was, man.
I don't know what kind of president he was, but he was a great general.
He was a great general.
Now, you know, a lot of people I know who lived through that was like, yeah, Ike was great.
Yeah.
We like Ike.
Yeah.
So talking about, you know, celebrity deaths, one of the biggest ones that persists from 1977 to now is Elvis Presley actually dead?
Yeah, and also Tupac. And also,
well, Tupac keeps putting out material.
He's like 9/11, and or whatever. Yeah, he's like, what's that Chappelle bit where he's rapping about stuff that just happened last week?
Yeah, they're like, wait a minute. Well, it's like, you know, now there's a conspiracy theory, a couple about Prince,
right?
One which is ridiculous. One I hope is true.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah. The one I saw as doing research for the conspiracy theory show tonight was, did chemtrail flu kill Prince and Merle Haggard?
Chemtrails. Gotta love them chemtrails. Yeah. There's a dude in Canada who...
Wait a minute. You know, because Prince had talked about them before.
Oh, I know. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But Prince and Merle Haggard. Merle Haggard was like 79,000 years old.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean that he can't, you know, be a victim of chemtrails, man.
Well, yeah, I know, but
you know,
Merle lived hard.
Probably.
I think from all indications now, Prince did too.
Well, I don't know if that's true either. And, you know, there's some speculation that he was a Jehovah's Witness. I don't know how true that is. Because I don't know anything about it. He might have been a devout Jehovah's Witness. He might not have been. If he was, I know he's talked about it before, but I don't know how devout he was. You know what I mean?
Right. If he was, he's going nowhere near drugs or...
Right. And he would also avoid certain treatments for certain ailments he might have.
Right.
And that might have led to his death. That's more plausible to me than, you know, some other crazy stuff. But who knows? I mean, you know, somebody can say, I mean, listen, I was baptized Catholic. I'm not Catholic.
Were you really?
Yeah, I was baptized Catholic.
I wasn't baptized anything.
I went to Mass.
I'm more of a heathen than you.
You're going to hell,
bro. Go figure.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, dude.
I don't know. You were baptized, but you've been excommunicated, so you got problems.
But
the thing is, you can walk right into a Catholic church, go into confession, and have it all wiped away.
Yeah, I've never done confession. I kind of stopped doing it when I was like a teenager.
You'd be in there, it's like, can we order pizza up in here?
How long you got? It's been never since my last confession.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one that I really, really like, Kevin. And this one actually might be true. Have you heard of Phantom Time?
No.
The Phantom Time Hypothesis. So it's a conspiracy theory that was brought up by this dude named Herbert Illig. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly. He brought it out in the early 90s, and it basically says that the Holy Roman Emperor Otto III and Pope Sylvester II and possibly Constantine the whatever, right, basically made up the early Middle Ages. They just created this stuff, including like Charlemagne and stuff, like this vast
period. From 300 to 600.
From 614 to 911.
Okay.
911. Illuminati.
Coincidence?
Basically, the early Middle Ages were padded, you know, with this area that did not exist. And most people don't believe in it, but it's fascinating if you think about, you know, hey, we're not living in, you know, 2016.
It's really
actually, you know, the early 1800s or something. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, what? You know what I mean? Or early 1700s.
Right. Well, you know, the thing is, you put a year on it, it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter.
It's not like if this turns out to be true, we're going to go back to wearing the tricorn hats or whatever.
But what I find fascinating, though, is, and we know that this has happened in the past, right, is back then, you could revise the past. You could just change shit. Not a lot of people were literate.
Right.
Right? And if you wanted to, throughout the ages, if you wanted to you know, dictate your story. I mean, it probably still happens. You know, look at textbooks and shit. You know what I mean? You say it was this way and teach an entire population and a generation and then the next generation this stuff, it becomes part of history, regardless.
Irregardless. Excuse me,
Kevin. Irregardless.
Don't forget, we're from Delaware.
Of the actual facts in the matter, right? We alluded to it earlier when we talked about
revisionist history.
The victors, right? The history, right?
And not just that, but now, you know, in 300 years, the journalists now are writing the history.
Probably.
You know, so the... Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how, you know, this period of time is looked upon in decades down the road.
They're going to be like, what the? I mean, it's just like us. It's just like us looking back and going, you know,
what's that weird transcontinental accent they were using on newsreels?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, think about it. Like, if you were to go back in time to, like, I don't know, let's say the 1600s, early settlers in the United States, right? If you were to walk into a Puritan village, you'd be like, what the fuck are these people doing? You know? I mean, first of all, they would burn you almost immediately. Right,
right, wearing that shirt?
Yeah.
I bet you
they'd be like, what the hell is this?
The hell's BB-8?
Yeah. But I think that you would be, it would be an alien environment to you, too. I mean, so when in 300 years, 400 years, yeah, people are going to look at what we were doing and go, what the shit?
Well, you don't even have to go back hundreds of years.
That's true.
Transplant your ass back in the early 1970s.
Yeah. I think that'd be a great time to live, man.
I was there.
I know.
It kind of sucked.
You know, it sucked for you.
Dude, I had bell bottoms, okay?
So?
You know what? Late 70s, I had polyester print shirts and I had a leisure suit, dude.
Right.
Yeah. And high heel shoes. It was the disco era. I was, you know, very, very young, but, you know, for my, you know, school picture, my mother said, it'd be great if you had a leisure suit. So I had a leisure suit. Wow. There's photographic evidence of this leisure suit.
Wow. Oh, I cannot wait to watch that one. Or to look at that one, because I swear to God, if I can get a dub, if I can get me a copy, that shit's going on online, and it will be there forever.
There's also evidence of photographic evidence of me with a mullet.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was the 80s. God. What were you going to do? I was partying in the back, business up front.
That is all sorts of shocking.
Yeah.
So here's one that I think you'll find interesting, Kevin, because I'm going to throw it at you. Light bulbs. So there is a conspiracy theory stating that light bulb manufacturers purposely made their products to blow out after a certain amount of time because they wanted to continue business.
Sure.
Right.
If a light bulb lasts forever, you only need to buy so many of them.
Yeah. So here's what's funny about it. There is this light called the Centennial Light. It's in Livermore, California. It's hanging in a fire department.
I've heard about this light.
Yeah. This light has been running, and I'm not making this up, for almost 115 years.
And it's never been turned off.
Never been turned off. Well, I think there were some times when it had to be turned off, like a couple of times. But, you know, it just keeps burning.
Well, I think the argument would be made that back then they made stuff to last. Now they make stuff to be obsolete.
That's the whole point.
Planned obsolescence.
Planned obsolescence, which is a total conspiracy theory. But it's one that I think is really true.
Yeah, I would buy that.
You know?
I think, you know, when you buy a laptop and you go, well, my laptop is really old. I need a new one. How old is it? It's 3 years old.
Right.
Really? It's only going to last 3 years?
Yeah.
That's why I like these little things with apples on them, because they last considerably longer.
They last considerably. I think I've had my iMac for 7 years now, and it works fine.
How long have I had this? This is four years old.
Probably four. I had mine for a long time.
Oh, my laptop is new, but, you know, anyway. So, you know, I buy that about light bulbs. Now, the great thing about LED bulbs now is they're supposed to last for 10 years.
Yeah.
They cost a little bit more. I don't know. I've never had to change one.
Yeah.
I've put a lot of them in. And as bulbs burn out, we put these in. So... it's great not having it. And I don't mind so much like the lamp right over there by Robbie's desk. When that burns out, it's no big deal. You tilt it down, you unscrew it, you screw the new one in. But like the ones that are in your hallway that are under a globe that you have to get up on a ladder, those are pains in the ass. I love the LED bulbs for those.
They are, yes, you're right.
You plug that bastard in, and you know what? A decade from now,
So
somebody else can worry about
cool
it.
The cool thing about this bulb is they have it. They actually have a webcam on it. You can actually pull it up and watch this bulb be lit.
I now have to go see this right. bulb.
They just celebrated their 1 millionth hour of it running, which is roughly 114, little over 114 years. So, I mean, that's fucking impressive, dude, for a light bulb. I mean, we've all had a light bulb that we screwed in and blew immediately.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
just, this is some bullshit.
Yeah. That fucking light bulb has outlived people.
It's probably what, like a 10 watt bulb?
It's probably outlived like a couple generations in certain circumstances.
Well, I don't know how old you are, but you know, you double my age, right. I still wouldn't be where that bulb is.
Right. And it's still burning, man.
Nice.
Yeah. So the people's grandkids that built that light bulb might still be alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's fucking fascinating to me. I mean, hopefully they are. They wouldn't be too old, but they, you know, maybe in their mid-50s or 60s or something. You know, something like
that. A little older than that.
Depending on how old they were when they had kids.
True. We're coming up on, actually, we're at an hour now, but we're not done. We're going to roll on. Let's talk about some conspiracy theories that turned out to be true.
Go for it. Wait a minute. There's one more conspiracy theory I want to throw at you before we get into that. All right. Because this one I find amazing. Have you heard the Grand Unified conspiracy theory?
Yes, that all these conspiracy theories are all part of one big conspiracy.
Including all the conspiracy theories. Right. So everything basically is a conspiracy theory, including conspiracy theories. So wrap your heads around that
one,
you
really have
and
to be dedicated to conspiracy
Yeah, you just have
theory.
To be like, nah, fuck, 9/11?
None of this shit's real.
Dude, yeah, right. And I'm glad we didn't get into 9/11 because that one pisses me off a little bit.
It does, but you know what? I think it's so fresh in people in a lot of people's minds.
It hurts
minds.
A little bit.
It's still a little too soon.
A little too soon.
Now the funny thing is, my son, who's now 18, graduating high school, doesn't remember it.
Yeah,
he was only 3.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah.
You know, so it's a little bit weird.
Yeah, it's something they hear about, but it's something we lived through. So it's one of those things. Like when your nephew starts talking about like Building 7, and I'm like, motherfucker. You know, I'm like, man, I watched that shit.
Yeah.
It was bad, dude. You know what I mean?
And I think he did too, but through a child.
He was
eyes.
A little kid, yeah. I think he was 10 or 11 or something.
So
anyway.
So you know, you can look at writing by anybody and see videos and stuff, and that can change your mind. So I'm actually interested in kind of seeing what he saw to make up his mind like
Building
that.
7 really bothers him. Building 7's quote unquote,
like they brought it down for no reason and nothing hit it.
You know, Lucky Larry, you know, the dude who owned all that property and, you know, how much money he made. But here's my problem with most of these conspiracy theories, Kevin. It's not that I don't believe the government would do that kind of shit. They did it in the past. We've gone to war.
I'm about to tell you about some of them.
Yeah. I mean, Vietnam, you know, definitely was the beginning of the Vietnam War. There was Iraq as well. You know, the first Iraq war. So, you know, the governments will do that kind of stuff. The thing that I don't buy about most of these conspiracy theories is, especially in today's day and age, I just don't think they could keep their mouth, like everybody could keep their mouth shut about it. I totally believe that somebody would, with the amount of fame that they would get for blowing the lid off of 9/11.
They would have that fame for a few minutes until the bullet hit them.
Somebody killed him?
Snowden
got away with it. You don't think they wanted to kill him?
Oh, I think they still do.
Yeah, I think they do,
too. I think he's deep in a bunker somewhere.
I think they'll probably... Yeah, they want to smoke him, definitely.
But look at everything, you know, everything that came to light about, you know,
all
the
NSA. And those were conspiracy theories, right?
The right.
1984. Go ahead. I know you're going to get into the true ones, so go for it.
All right, so you were talking about the Vietnam War, the Gulf of Tonkin incident. So basically, it turns out that it never actually happened.
It didn't happen, yeah.
Right. So
didn't one of the boats get fired on, but the second one didn't?
Well, here's the thing. Allegedly, like you know, the Maddox, which is, you know, the boat, one of the U.S. boats, the destroyer USS Maddox, supposedly engaged 3 North Vietnamese Navy torpedo boats as part of an intelligence patrol. The Maddox fired almost 300 shells in this exchange, okay?
Right.
But if it never happened, what were they shooting at?
Yeah.
So, you know, Johnson made a joke, hey, for all I know, our Navy was shooting at whales out there, blah, blah, blah. Never happened. But what the aftermath was is that there was a resolution passed that basically said, you know, in Southeast Asia, you know, we take it upon ourselves to combat communist regimes in Southeast Asia.
Right.
Yeah, that's paraphrasing.
All result of a thing that never happened.
That never happened. And I'm sure people were talking about it then, like, well, that doesn't sound right. People in the Navy, et cetera,
right.
who had knowledge of procedures, yep. et cetera, when this stuff came down.
Yeah, but they couldn't tweet it.
They couldn't, no.
You know what I mean? With a hashtag, this is bullshit.
You go to your next door neighbor and talk over the fence.
Right.
Now, there's also a thing called the Tuskegee Syphilis Experiment. Have you heard about
this?
Oh,
that's
one?
So fucked up. So, I'm actually going to do a fucked up Friday on that eventually.
So between 1932 and 1972, the U.S. Public Health Service had a clinical study going on in Alabama, on rural African-American men who had syphilis. So they never actually informed these guys that they had a sexually transmitted disease.
Right.
They didn't offer them any treatment, even though penicillin was readily available starting in the 40s. And this turned out to be true. Basically, they told these guys you had, quote unquote, bad blood. So after World War II starts, 250 of these guys registered for the draft and were told at that point that they had syphilis. Even at that point, the Public Health Service denied them treatment.
Yeah.
So by the early 70s, 128 of the original 399 guys had died of the disease or syphilis-related complications. 40 of their wives had it, and 19 of their children were born with congenital syphilis.
So fucked up.
Yeah, so a similar experiment was conducted on prisoners, soldiers, and patients in a mental hospital yep. in Guatemala,
yep.
Which actually, again, involved the Public Health Service. Thanks a lot, guys. Deliberately
notice that
infecting
their name
the patients.
Is the Public Health Service.
Right.
That's tax dollars that your grandfather or your parents paid, and maybe even you, depending on how old you are,
right.
paid for that kind of shit. Like, how fucked up is that? And what are they doing today?
Well, you think that's fucked up? Check this out. Project MK Ultra.
Oh, yeah. This is the height of the conspiracy theories are real theories because it's real fucked up.
And the CIA kind of runs through all, you know, a lot of these. So they ran a secret mind control experiments on U.S. citizens.
This is totally
legit.
From
the 50s to the 70s to 1973.
Not bullshit at all. It's totally legit.
And here's the reason. In 1995, President Clinton actually issued a formal apology on behalf of the U.S. government because yep. of these experiments.
Yep.
So what it was the CIA was using drugs, electronics, hypnosis,
dude,
sensory
LSD.
Deprivation.
Hardcore LSD.
Right. Plus verbal and sexual abuse to torture and conduct experiments on these people. It was basically 80 different institutions, including universities, hospitals, prisons, pharmaceutical companies. Most of it was uncovered in 77 when the Freedom of Information Act exposed classified documents, etc. But that shit was true.
It was true. They did a lot of fucked up shit.
Now, the real screwed up thing here is that there's growing evidence that Theodore Kaczynski, Ted Kaczynski, otherwise known as a Unabomber,
was part of it.
Was a subject of Project MK Ultra when he was at Harvard in the late 50s.
Okay, here we go, because that's a total conspiracy theory. Like, because here we go. I mean, they created an assassin.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's happened, maybe MK Ultra worked on him.
Depends on what their
who knows?
Result.
That's what I'm saying.
This is kind of a small one. I hadn't heard much about Operation Northwoods. Basically create acts of terrorism on U.S. soil in order to sway
yeah.
American public
so those,
to support
those
the
are,
war against Cuba.
Those are false flag, right. Those are false flag operations.
Right, so, you know, Kennedy basically rejected it, so.
He did, but it was brought up.
But it was in the works.
It was a real thing, and that's one of the other ones that I hear coming up a lot in the JFK conspiracy theories is, you know, that he was executed because of that. And once he was out of office, they were able to institute it.
Wow.
But not for Cuba, for other things.
Russia, whatever.
Right, whatever, yeah.
So here we go back to the CIA again. Drug trafficking, sale of yep. cocaine in L.A. to the Crips and Bloods, funneling millions of dollars in drug profits to Latin American guerrilla armies.
Yeah. I mean, and this...
Oh, this is the guy who killed himself by shooting himself in the head twice.
Yes.
A guy named Gary
Webb.
A book called Dark Alliance, the CIA, the Contras, and the Crack Cocaine Explosion. Basically, the book outlined how CIA-backed Contras smuggled coke into the U.S., distributed through the Los Angeles gangs, took the profits, and then aided the drug dealers to raise money for
this
the
This is another
Contras.
One I've wanted to do Fucked Up Friday on. I'm going to tell you right now. This is 100% legit. His quote-unquote suicide seems like total shit, right? Total bullshit. And if you don't want to read the book, if you want to get into it, dude, there's a fucking awesome movie. It's called Kill the Messenger and starring Jeremy Renner.
Oh, nice.
and it's on Plex if you want to watch it. It is incredible, you know. And dude, it turned out that it's 100% true. Our government, who was putting people in prison, who was the government, the same government that was starting up with all this, you know, say no to drugs and cracks an epidemic and all this kind of shit, they were the ones dealing it. They were selling significant amounts of the shit to get money to support a guerrilla government.
Nice.
Or a guerrilla organization in a different country. They weren't even giving the money back to us. This is why we should talk about drugs at some point.
Yeah, we're going to
keep bringing it up because it's so messed up. The type of shit. I mean, the drug war has ruined so many lives, right? And not only that, created a massive criminal empire for people.
Multitudes of them.
It ruined Mexico. Mexico's fucked because of this. Simply because of the drug war. If drugs were legal, they would have nothing to do.
Yeah, exactly.
They would have to find some other way to do crime.
I'm sure they would have no trouble
doing that. I'm sure they wouldn't either. I would guarantee you that somebody in Mexico would start a corporation that made cocaine, and that motherfucker would become a multi-billionaire, and Mexico would become a power because they would have a lot of money coming in. You know, it's insanity.
Plus, you know, Acapulco gold. You know, if drugs are legal, then weed is a huge thing coming out of Mexico.
Right, and I don't know if you know this or not, but you could actually buy coca leaves. You can buy them. They're not illegal.
And chew them.
You can buy them and chew them. You can buy them on fucking Amazon. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not. It's totally
the chemical process that makes it illegal.
Right. You can buy them. I don't know if you can grow it, though. I don't know if that's legal.
I don't know. Opiates are... Anyway.
Can you grow poppy?
Well, you can get poppy seed, so you have to be able to grow poppy somewhere. You can get a poppy seed on your bagel.
I have to look that shit up. I don't know, because it seems weird to me that you're not allowed to grow marijuana. But you're also not allowed to grow tobacco in certain places, too, which is also insane. There's so many fucking dumb rules. I'm getting off on a tangent again. There's so many fucking dumb rules that keep us from being, like, self-sustaining. Like, we just got chickens recently. There's a certain limit to the amount of chickens we can have and, like, the amount of roosters you can have and all this shit. And it's like, motherfucker, it's a fucking chicken. Like, why is the government involved in how many chickens I have?
Well, because you have to have a license to have a farm.
I mean, I could see if you were like, all right, you can't have 10,000 chickens on your 1 acre property. All right, that makes sense.
In town.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right, that makes sense. But at the same time, like, you can't be like, you can only have four or something, like, ridiculous number.
Right.
Like, it's like, what are you doing? I mean, 100, not even 100 years ago, like 40 years ago.
Government all up in yo business.
40 years ago, like, almost, I would say the overwhelming majority of families in the United States had some form of livestock or a garden, things like that. And now they're like outlawing that shit. You know, maybe not 40 years, but certainly 60.
Well, because 40 years ago was the 70s. And
right.
I didn't have a cow.
So 60 or 70 years ago, you know, my grandparents' generation, certainly they all, I mean, you know, it was a bunch of farmers everywhere. So what they did, and for the like a government agent to come in and be like, you can't have this many cows or something, they'd be like, what? We're fucking making milk. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, for our own consumption.
Yeah.
And then later on, we're going to eat Bessie.
It's a goddamn conspiracy.
By the food companies, man.
The goddamn
meat industry. We've talked about the conspiracy among food industry.
Well, dude, I mean, what is up with the fact that you can't, these ag gag laws, you can't film farms? You're not allowed to, even if it's from public property, which is the big thing in the First Amendment, freedom of speech. It says that anything in public view is it's legal to record it, to take pictures,
right,
all that kind of stuff. If you're on private land, then no. But if you can see private land from the public, it's not considered a private space, or as the government describes it, you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy.
Right.
That's how people can get photos with these telephoto lenses and shit of somebody laying out on their balcony, you know, half naked. Right.
Or full naked.
But you're now, there's a law that you're not allowed to film these like factory farms and stuff because people were filming them being like super brutal to livestock.
Animals, right.
You know, and like, you know, pus filled sores all over them and shit. And now so instead of fixing all that, the government was like, all right, it's illegal to film it anymore and tell people about it, which is so fucked up, man.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's not a problem if nobody sees it.
Ah, it makes me crazy. That's a genuine conspiracy theory that is 100% true.
Well, then it's not a theory.
Well, I guess not. It's not proven, though. I can't prove that they are, in fact, doing all this.
It's very easy to, though.
It's really plausible.
Go find one of those places, stand on the road with a camera, and see what happens.
Yeah. You'll get arrested.
Well, yeah. That's a big deal. Then you'll have proof.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
There you go. Operation.
I wonder what would happen if you, I wonder what would happen if you stood there with a camera but didn't take any pictures. I mean, it didn't even have a battery in it.
I think you'd still be, you know, hassled by the man.
You'd probably be detained, but they couldn't do anything to you, I don't think.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you would probably be let go, but they'd look at you like, what are you trying to do, man? Come on. So anyway, Operation Marking Guard. So
what are they doing?
Basically, I know.
Enforcing a law that doesn't make any goddamn sense? I wonder about law enforcement sometimes about, if they go to lock somebody up and they're like, really, I have to fucking arrest somebody for this? If they don't, just go fuck it.
I think a lot of cases
they strongly
they
disagree with the law. Because there's a lot of stupid laws. But I've known a lot of cops, and this is my personal experience, that would use that shit against you rather than the opposite and be like, this is stupid, I'm not going to enforce it.
I guess it all depends on... There's a bunch of factors there, I think, whether a cop is going to say, hey, just get out of here.
They do have discretion to do that. Sure. They just typically don't.
Right. Well, I think it depends on your demeanor when it happens. If they roll up there and say, sir, why are you standing there with a camera? You know you're not supposed to be allowed to film. And you go, fuck you, I can do whatever I want to. Then that's when they're going to take you to jail.
Okay, so but here's the thing, right? That's a completely legal thing to do. So if that's why they take you to jail, they arrested you for a false reason.
Well, no,
it's not illegal to stand on the side of the road with a camera.
Right, but it is illegal, I guess, from what you say, to film a public
Right, but you're
farm.
Not filming it.
They don't know that at the time.
Doesn't matter if they know it or not. They have to have reasonable, articulable suspicion.
They do have probable cause to detain you to find out if you are
right,
filming
to detain
that.
You.
Right,
but that's
if
it.
But if you resist arrest...
You're not resisting arrest by saying, fuck you. That's freedom of speech, pal.
Yeah, well...
That's legit.
If the cop's not wearing a body camera, it's resisting arrest. I guarantee it.
Yeah, well, that's another part of the problem.
It's a whole different show.
It is, bro.
So I started talking about Operation Mockingbird. Basically, in the 1940s, when the Cold War was just starting to get going,
the
CIA again launched a top secret project called Operation Mockingbird. Yeah. So basically, their goal was to, by influence and control of the major media outlets,
newspapers
of which
and
at
shit.
The time was mostly newspapers. TV was in its infancy. So what they did was they wanted to put journalists and reporters directly on the payroll.
And they did.
Right. So the architects of this plan were Frank Wisner, a guy named Alan Dulles, who was the head of the CIA, I believe. His Dulles Airport in Washington is named after this guy.
Yep.
A guy named Helms and a guy named Philip Graham, who was a publisher of the Washington Post. So their whole plan was to have journalists become spies and propagandists.
Dude, and it worked.
So, you know, basically...
It worked. The whole Red Scare...
it did.
So it's really interesting. I worked with a guy who came to the United States when he was 18 years old, grew up in Soviet Russia. He's exactly my age. So he went through the Cold War...
As a Russian.
And had the complete opposite perspective that I had growing up.
Right.
And we used to have these super long conversations over lunch and stuff about what it was like. You know what I mean? And it's fucking crazy because you know what? He felt the same way about us. He was like, dude, you guys were evil. We were so afraid of you. You guys were going to bomb us at any minute. Like, you know, anybody like that had capitalist capitalist thoughts.
Ideology?
Ideology. There you go. What the fuck am I doing? Was immediately like a traitor, and I was like, holy shit, it was like McCarthyism, but on the other side.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and a lot of people were hemmed up and persecuted and shit for spouting, like, you know, freedom and all this kind of stuff because they were dangerous ideals and, you know, capitalists are greedy and, you know, we have enough. And it was fascinating because he had virtually the same upbringing, but...
That would be interesting as hell to talk to.
It was super interesting, man.
Yeah.
Super interesting. He was a really cool guy. I don't know. He probably won't listen to the show, but what's up, Mikhail?
Sorry, man. He's never met you, but you know.
Yeah.
The last one, Operation Snow White.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about this one?
Of course.
So basically, it was a name given to the government's infiltration of the Church of Scientology during the 70s. Mm-hmm. They stole classified government files regarding Scientology from dozens of government agencies. The FBI finally cracked the operation, which led to the arrest and imprisonment of a senior church official.
Yeah, man.
Core mission of the program is to expose and expunge all false and secret files of the nations of operating areas and enable church seniors and L. Ron Hubbard, his damn self, to frequent all Western nations without threat.
Yeah, man. It's so we should talk about Scientology at some point, but
it's a long. That would be
that's a really long thing. It's crazy. The shit that they have gotten away with so far.
And there's also conspiracy theories, which turned out to be true, about Scientology. And it's
sure
basically infiltrating the government. And
yep. Well, I mean, this is one example of that.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I
mean? And that turned out to be 100% true. Now, Scientology, you know, if we're being fair, they did distance themselves from this and say, listen, this was rogue operators. And
right.
We're doing something.
But. It, you know, as far as we know, it continues. They certainly infiltrated Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but that's not hard to do. I mean, you know.
Well, you know, you look at a guy like Tom Cruise, and you know, and as movies come out by, you see, you know, actors like Leah Remini and Jason Begie, I think his name is.
Okay.
Who's in Chicago Fire, were Scientologists. Now they've left the church, and they're actually speaking
out against
it. Oh,
yeah, yeah, that dude's really cool, yeah.
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 You know, so, you know, and John Travolta in the movie, in the documentary I saw with those two people in it talking how Scientology in the church is out of their damn minds and doing highly illegal things. John Travolta's like, I've never had anything but a positive experience there, and I love the place, and it's perfect. And, yeah. You know, so, you know, so the whole idea is...
And the thing is, that might be
true.
If
you want to succeed in Hollywood,
yeah.
You go to Scientology, you know, you get a leg up there because a lot of the people who are in...
Power elite, sure.
In the industry are Scientologists, sure. And they'll give you a look.
Sure, a lot of them, yeah. Yeah,
it but it's very expensive to get in.
It's extremely expensive.
Because you have to pay to get access to the stuff that can make you go higher.
Right. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it gets way up there. But it's one of those organizations that whenever a conspiracy theory comes out about them, I'm like, yeah, that's probably true. probably exists.
Now, I was reading earlier today that Miscavige, David Miscavige, who's the leader of the Church of Scientology, his father is writing a quote-unquote tell-all book.
Ooh.
And Miscavige has a team of lawyers trying to block
And
the publishing of that
book. They'll probably be successful. Because the one thing that Scientology is, and I got to give them props, they're really good at working the system. You know? And as disgusting as that is, all major successful corporations do it too.
Yes, they do.
So, wow, there's a lot. We could keep going. There's tons of them.
Yeah, you know, maybe we'll do a part two at some point.
Maybe.
Yeah, but because we haven't even talked about global economic policies.
Didn't touch on global warming. Maybe it is a conspiracy, Kevin.
Who knows? Well, that's what the deniers say.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's probably not a conspiracy theory, though.
Well, whenever you put politics into something...
Well, that's the problem. I don't even understand why politics is there. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, as soon as Al Gore came out with it, everybody on the other side of the aisle was like, it's got to be bullshit because it's Al Gore, and we all know Al Gore's full of shit.
It's just so crazy.
All right. So we rocked an hour and 23 today.
There you go.
And, you know, we got more, so...
Yeah. Enjoy, anyway, bitches.
We're out, so enjoy your week, and we'll be back in a couple weeks with another Random. Which actually probably should have been called Tangent.
It should have been called Tangent, right. Tangent's a better name.
Yeah, it actually is.
We should start a podcast called Tangent.
Which looks and sounds just like this one.
Except we would just keep rolling forever. Yeah. We got too many podcasts going on. Maybe we get somebody else to do Tangent.
Anyway, all right, guys, we're out. Enjoy, and you know, hit us on Twitter if you want to. Of course, yes, Random.
Yep.
There you go.
Stuff. Things.
See ya.
Subscribe.
Bye.
You know.
Like, subscribe.
Comment.
Could really help us.
Really help us out. Fucking hate that shit.
Everybody does.